grace to you and peace. Amen. R.L. Stein once said, "Every story ever told can be broken down into three parts: the beginning, the middle, and the plot twist." Stein should know something about storytelling. He's known as the Stephen King of children's literature. He's sold over 400 million books. He's probably best known for writing the Goosebumps series. Maybe some of you have read some Goosebumps stories. And they all, of course, involve some kind of clever plot twist. Now, this month, we've been exploring one of the great stories of the Bible. This beautiful story about the reluctant prophet Jonah, who gets this word from God that says, "Here's what I need you to do, Jonah. I need you to go to Nineveh." And Jonah heads the other direction. But we learned in that first chapter that you can run from God, but you can't hide. God stays with Jonah all the way on that boat and all the way into the water, and God brings the fish up that swallows Jonah. But Jonah, our reluctant prophet, swallowed up in the belly of this giant fish, can't go any lower. His life is gone. He imagines this God who has pursued him. And so he looks up and prays to God and says, "I know you are merciful. I know I can trust in you. I ask you to save me." And God hears a word from Jonah and causes the fish to spit him back out again. So Jonah does as he's promised he'll do. He goes to Nineveh, that great city filled with people he can't possibly stand. And he preaches a word. And we learn that God loves to give people a second chance. He's given Jonah a second chance coming up out of the whale. He's given the people of Nineveh a second chance. As Andrew said, the end. Right? The end. I mean, it's a beautiful story. A story of, you know, vocation and calling and salvation and redemption. Happy ending. Right? No. There's one more chapter. It doesn't end there. Now, Jonah has lived out his calling. He's preached his sermon. It's five words in Hebrew. You know, essentially translated as, "This place in 40 days is goners. Forget about it." That's all he says. He doesn't tell them what they have to do. He doesn't proclaim a word of promise. He just says it's done for. And the people hear this word and they respond. The people that Jonah cannot stand. These people represent everything that's wrong in the world. They are the source of all of the problems for God's people. And Jonah is not happy about it, that God has changed God's mind. And he goes and he sits on a hill where he can look out on that city. And he can hope that maybe things will turn and God will, in fact, destroy this city. And that doesn't happen. Plot twist, wouldn't you say? Jonah is angry. God has been faithful all along, and God has done everything God says God will do. But Jonah is angry and frustrated and unsatisfied because the Ninevites live. Ninevites. Who are the Ninevites in your life? Who is it that you've been wondering about out there? Those people. You know the Ninevites. They're, you know them. It's those people, right? I don't know about you, but I'm sort of dreading the next 14 months or so of this coming campaign season. It's already come. It's already here, of course, but we've got 14 more months of this, and it's only going to get worse because you know what's going to happen. Those people are going to start talking. The Ninevites are going to get the microphone, and they're going to start telling us how things should be done, right? And I don't want to talk to the Ninevites. I don't want to listen to the Ninevites. I know what the Ninevites have to say, and I don't think it's right. Those Ninevites. They're going to be out there pounding their signs in the yards, and they're going to be out there putting their banners up and having their rallies, and I don't agree with any of it. And I got to live through this for 14 months. Ninevites, Ninevites, Ninevites. It's kind of an inconvenient thing, though, to discover that as much as I try to draw the lines neat and square and understandable and know that I'm on this side of the line and they're on the other side of that line, God comes along and erases the line and says, Peter, go talk to the Ninevites. What would be different if I could accept that God loves the Ninevites? Would be different. How about for you? What would be different if you realized that God loves your Ninevites too? So we get this story of God having this plant grow up over Jonah, who's sitting there angry and frustrated and hoping and wishing that that rotten city would get destroyed. All of the people with it. And the sun is beating down and he's just getting angrier and madder and more upset and frustrated. And this plant grows up and gives Jonah some shade. Gives him a chance to sort of collect his thoughts and realize that, okay, maybe things aren't so bad. Maybe I can go on. And then God causes the plant to die and withers. And then he brings a hot, sultry wind. And Jonah couldn't be worse off. And he's miserable. And he asks to die again. God, if you're not going to kill the Ninevites, you might as well kill me. What a weird story, right? What a weird story. But God says to Jonah, why? Think about how much you cared about that bush. When that bush came, which you didn't do any, you didn't plant that bush, you didn't do anything to cultivate that bush, but that bush gave you life. It gave you hope. It gave you something to hang on to. And you felt okay. Well, that's how I feel about Nineveh. those people that you don't like, I love them. I need them in this world. I want them in this world. I love them too. This is what we hear from God. The God loves the Ninevites too. So this whole story about Jonah, it's a story about God saving the Ninevites and sharing his love with the Ninevites. But I wonder if it really isn't a story about God using the Ninevites to save Jonah. One more time. And just maybe, God might be using the Ninevites to save me. Thanks be to God. Amen.